Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
The challenge in our world today, right and left, back and forth, you name it, there are conflicts. Jesus said there would be conflicts. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilences and all kinds of problems throughout the world. But he said to the children of the king, he said, you have nothing to fear. Well, I'm glad we had one amen with that. He said, you have nothing to fear, for I have overcome the world. In our scripture reading for today, turning briefly to it, in Hebrews, the writer there, after having gone through all of those, the chapter, with all of those individuals, starting with Abel and others, he talked about how they were many mighty men and women of faith. And then as he finished that up in the chapter, he said, but God's not through yet. In verses 39 and 40, he said, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise, even though they were faithful. They didn't receive the promise. The promise is still out there. He said, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God wasn't ready to close to pull the curtain down and say, all right, it's over. All of these people, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of those individuals, yes, it's no. God said, I still have some more people I want to bring into my family. Look at Isaiah chapter 61 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus quoted this when he came to his home people. Some of my brothers would say to his homies. Came to his home people. And he stood up when he began his ministry. He came back to his home people. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he said that to his hometown people, they looked around and said, my, my, such gracious words from this son of a carpenter. We know him. We know his mother and his father. We know his brothers and sisters. Where did he get these words from? And then Jesus continued, and what did he say? What did he say? I hear somebody mumbling out there. Talk to me. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And the people looked at this young whippersnapper and said, the audacity to call us poor and miserable and captives and blind. And they rose up and they took him to the edge of the hill where their city was built, and sought to cast him down. We'll show you. Come home with that kind of foolishness. And he walked right through them unscathed, because his time wasn't yet. Jesus has come and given to us the message to release the captives. Glad I had an amen. Jesus has come for us to preach unto the meek. Jesus has come for us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. All around us, people are bound. People are in prisons. America has the largest incarcerated population of its constituents in the world. More than China, more than Russia, more than any other country, there are more incarcerated people in America than any place else in the world. The land of freedom. Thank God for those who need to be there. But you and I know we have a message to present of deliverance. It's not just simply open up prison and letting people out. And I'm not to talk about what's happening in the state of California and what's impacting Kern County and so forth. That's not the issue. The issue, men and women, that sin is a cruel taskmaster. It enslaves people. And people may want to do better, but they don't have the power to break its hold. And so all around us, we have people who need the good news of the Savior who's come to break their bondage. And so that's why we're here. As we look back in the history of America, slavery was a terrible stain upon us. We didn't start here. England, those other countries. God in Genesis, turn with me, Genesis chapter 1. What did God do in the beginning? Genesis chapter 1 said to Adam and Eve, he said, after the creation, what was his comment and what was his directive to Adam and Eve? He said to them that God had given to Adam and Eve the responsibility of the earth. They were to take care of the earth. But he never put man in charge of man. He never put man in dominion over man. God alone was to be the king. God alone was to be in charge. Mankind, Adam and Eve, in their foolishness, sold their birthright and became slaves to Satan and sin. And everyone in their course, except the Lord Jesus Christ, in their turn, we have played our part in the foolishness of sinful ways. Man's inhumanity to man is the greatest crime in history. People are worried about the animals, worried about what's happening with the climate change and what's going to happen to the whales and the polar bears and the fish and all. And we take care of our animals and the markets, man. They can sleep in the bed with us and they can do all that kind of stuff. But our inhumanity to each other is the glaring stain on humanity. God has said, and Jesus said very clearly to that lawyer who came to him, he said, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, how do you read it? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength and soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. My, what a pity. In French, quel dommage. What a pity. Man's failure to live with his brother and his sister the law of love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you what? Have love one for another. And some of the biggest commotions and so forth we have is in churches. And the unbelieving world, the atheists and the agnostics look on and say, well, if that's the way that Christians love each other, I think I'll stay where I am. I don't need any friends like that. God's challenge to his people today is that we are to be ambassadors for him. We are to tell them, but that's not enough. I like the way they used to say it. You need to walk the walk and talk the talk. And now they've abbreviated and they say you need to walk the talk. The world is looking for examples of people who love each other. And should it not be within the community of Christ that this is first evidenced? We have a new pastor coming. A young man, he and his wife. I said it last week and I'll say it again. We need to pray for him. P-R-A-Y. Not pray on him. P-R-E-Y. He's going to make mistakes. He's a human. You've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. We need to love him. We need to love the Lord Jesus first. And then share that love with him when he comes here. Somebody said, I'll be glad when the pastor comes. And I said, yeah, and the pastor's going to be saying, I'd like to know what you are doing for the Lord. Not what the pastor will do for the Lord. That's our challenge. We have so many talents in this church. So glad that Dr. Olongo is serving right now. He may even have made it here. I don't know if he's made it. He said he didn't know if he'd get here or not because he's 24 hours in psychiatry at the Kern Medical Center. At the mental thing. Dealing with people with mental problems. We need to keep him in our prayers. He's struggling with the forces of evil. In the time of Jesus and in our time, Jesus said that there were demons who had taken possession of man. Their faces reflected that. It is still the truth here and now. People, well, I don't have to tell you that. You look at the newspaper, you hear the stories. A man comes in and kills all of his children and his wife and so forth. Individuals come into schools and just murder kids just randomly. I don't need to tell you that demons are still in mankind today. But they don't know how to get out. People don't know how to get them out. They've tried all the drugs. They've tried everything everybody said. And they still say, but you know, I'm trapped. One of the biggest, number one, and you know I came from public health. Retired from the health department. The number one cause of death. The number one cause of preventable death in the United States today is what? No, it's a substance. Tobacco. You can walk in any store. Everybody has the freedom to buy it if you're 21 or 18 or whatever the magic age is. That's the number one preventive cause of death in America today. Kern County is the number one county of all counties in the state of California for gonorrhea. Number one. And we're the second or third with another infectious disease. Kern County has some of the worst statistics of health for the Central Valley and the state of California. This is ground zero. So what are we doing about it? Nice to come to church. Shake each other's hands. Happy Sabbath. High fives. Go home and eat. And go to sleep. Is that why we're here? Jesus said in Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, he came to release the captives. So glad to hear our young people are going and feeding the hungry. Praise God. In our messages, 1905, Ministry of Healing, over 100 years ago, the church is organized for service, not to come to the service. but for service. That's why we're here. Every one of you have been given a gift, a talent. And I appreciate Dr. Longo's sermon when he said it very clear. He said, what are you doing with yours? Are you burying yours? What are you doing with that talent you have? And it's interesting that the man who had five talents gained five more. He had 10. The man with two got two more. He got four. And the man who had one did what? Buried it. Nobody has an excuse to sit down in this church and not use the talent you have. Every one of us will be accountable before God of what he has given to us to minister to others. One day the story will be told, like at TIS. Nobody can escape. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall be accountable in the day of judgment. So what are we doing with the talents we have to fight back the darkness around us? When we had our installation of officers, the officers and so forth, we had candles. Each person had a candle. That candle represented the Holy Spirit's fire in our lives to witness. Because you know, when it's dark and you hold up a candle, can the candle fight? Can the darkness fight the light? No. It can do everything it wants to try to put it out, but darkness cannot put out light. Every one of us has been given the opportunity to use the light we have. You don't take a candle and you put it under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick, on a light stand. And it gives light to all in the house. This month is Black History Month. That wasn't Carter G. Woodson's idea, though he started the week. His idea was the history should be told every day of the year, not just one month, week, and now one month. Moses told the children of Israel, when you leave here and you go into the promised land and you inhabit those houses you didn't build, and you sit down and eat those grapes and you didn't plant, etc., etc., be careful that you do not forget that it was God who delivered you out of darkness. It was God who turned over Egyptian slavery. We, as speaking to African Americans, we in America don't want to talk about slavery. Those of you who have Testimonies Volume 1 need to reread what God did to overturn slavery in America for us. We have the foggiest idea of all the issues that were taking place in America in the 60s, and Adventism began in 1860. And now 1861 and 62, you're getting proclamation that says slaves are free by Lincoln. But the purpose was not to free the slaves. The purpose of that war was to keep the Union. Now, those who know history, you know that. Slavery was not an issue. So there were those who wanted to keep the Union and keep slavery. And there were those who wanted to keep the Union and get rid of slavery. And we were at loggerheads from the government down through the generals, down to the fighting troops. And you see what happened in the Battle of Manassas. You don't read this in your history book, where the Union wars, the North and the South met, and they were fighting each other, and men were dying like flies, back and forth. And the Union were not prepared. The South had been preparing for years. They had the armaments and all the rest. And the Union men were fatigued, and as they went further anymore, it would have been a complete slaughter of the North. And she tells us in that volume one, she said, and she saw an angel of God come down and hold his hand and say, no further. And the Union troops went back, and the South had lost many, many men. They weren't ready to follow. They weren't ready to go forward. They were surprised and stunned that though they had the majority, they couldn't have won that battle of Manassas. And then she goes on to say that God punished both the North and the South for their sin of slavery. We lost more, America lost more men in the Civil War than all wars combined. You can't play with sin and not be uncontaminated. My message to you today, as you begin to look at your world around you, what are you doing? No, what in the world are you doing for heaven's sake? Come listen, go home, have the pastor for dinner. We need to wake up. The issues that face us are momentous. The Lord is ready to come. What are we doing to let the world know that Jesus is the only answer to today's problem? If you only knew which those individuals on Wall Street and those in charge of the World Bank and Bernanke and all the rest of them, if you only knew how close the world is to collapse, your heart would fail you for fear. You have no idea how close this entire world is to collapse. Men don't have an answer. They're shaking their head. They're meeting, figuring out what's going to happen over in Germany and other places where people are thinking there's the answer, and those people are saying we don't have it. We don't have an answer. We don't have the answer. And we think that we can sit down and do nothing. Now, let me just say it another way. My wife she's safe in North Carolina. She's there. She'll be there another week, and then she'll be seeing our sons for 2 weeks and coming home. And all of the stuff she had to go through just to get on the airplane. And some people think they're just going to walk into heaven. No preparation. Lord, just go come and take me. You need to think again. God wants every one of us to go home with him. But he has a process, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Tony Andrews, who preached 2 weeks ago about broken. That thing shook me. I went home, I fell on my knees. I said, oh God, break me. Melt me. Mold me and fill me with your spirit. I want to be inside of the city looking out, not outside looking in. Jesus said, him that falls on the stone shall be broken, but on whom the stone falls, it shall grind him to powder. Daniel chapter 2, the big image. God has a message for you and me, and it's our opportunity to choose him. Bow your heads, please, with me. Father, only you can change hearts. Nobody can do it by themselves. We're sinful mortal creatures, but you sent your divine spirit, and you gave your only son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. What a gift! Thank you, Father, for your gift. And now today, there may be someone here today who wants to say, yes, Jesus, I've wandered far away, but now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've tried. But Lord Jesus, now I'm coming home. Oh Father, we ask, in this very moment, may your spirit strive with men's hearts And if there's one who wants to say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you now, let him come. Let him come, Lord. For you are able to save unto the uttermost those who come to Jesus. And so we now pause a moment. If there's one, if God is speaking to your heart, you see, one day it'll be too late. One day it'll be over. One day it'll be, I wish I had. But today, today may be your day. So I say, is there one who wants to come to Jesus? If so, come forward. We'll welcome you like these young people. We'll welcome you with open arms. No, we're not perfect. No, we got all kind of baggage ourselves. But we welcome you to the family of God. Is there one? Father, you've heard our prayer. For you said you promised that you would hear every sincere prayer. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your generosity to give your only son for me on Calvary. We're thankful that he's in right now in heaven pleading by your throne. We're thankful that one day he's coming soon to take us home. Oh, Father, may there not be one soul here lost in that day. But may we all be ready according to your will. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.